putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teens on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Excellent. Okay, Sir Cameron, I know you revealed just before the news there what regular listeners are well aware of, that you've put your Canadian citizenship to one side and you're now 100% United States of America.
That's right.
Well, yeah, your choice. But still, let us move on to the delights of the weather in Nashville, which happens to be like what at present?
Oh, it's been pretty hot. We've had temperatures up over 100 this week, but the humidity has just been really thick. And we had storms overnight, so it feels kind of swampy out there right now. But apparently the humidity is going to go away and we'll just be hot, and that's nice.
Yeah, well, in Lincolnshire, it's been raining, and that's great. Really, I mean, there's nothing else to say, Sam, is there, really? It's been raining in Lincolnshire.
No, it's been raining a lot.
Yeah, raining quite a lot, so that's very good. But the ducks are very happy. That's the important thing. And as long as we've got happy ducks, then the world is a happy place.
Matter of the day. We have happy ducks.
Yeah, very clever. Very careful, day. Exactly.
That's brilliant. Yes,
well, precisely. Let's move on, though, to an Irish singer. From Ireland, no less, that Cameron's about to launch on the world courtesy of the Midweek Drive. And Cameron, this is an interesting shift because the young man who's clearly sort of doing all sorts of wonderful things, and clearly now he's reached the stage of being your official selection for the Midweek Drive. Well, you know, the only way is up.
Sure. Yes. But he's not from Ireland. He's from Lower Alabama.
Okay. Let's just hold it there, Cameron, because I did a bit of research on this, and we have to the official website of Shane Owens. Yeah. Ireland's newest country sensation. Okay.
You went. There are two Shane Owens.
Oh,
one is Shane Owens
country,
and one is Shane Owens music. You went to Shane Owens music, and it's not. It's Shane Owens country. And Shane is from Lower Alabama. This boy is country. We sat down and did a Facebook interview for National Access a week ago on Monday. And it was great. He even played a couple songs for us live. He is really traditional country. Now, if you like that traditional sound, you're going to really like this guy. So traditional. Randy Travis, the legend, has kind of put his official seal of approval on him and appeared in the video for this song. Now, that's pretty cool because Randy had a massive stroke a couple of years ago, and this is the first time that he's been in anybody's video, and it's just really great to see him out there. Shane and I talk about that in our video, too. So if you wanted to check that out, go to our Facebook page for National Access and check out the video for Shane. This is his brand new song, and I think you're really going to like it. I just love this song. This is called Country Never Goes Out of Style. From Lower Alabama, this is Shane Owens.
I'm still wearing Wranglers, moves out of style. Oh, country never goes out of style.
According to Randy Travis, he brings it all, Shane Owens, vocal, writing, performance and passion. But does he bring it all to Katie Dore? Katie, what did you make of what we've just heard?
I thought it was proper classic country track.
Proper classic country track. Sam Stone.
Really, really nice. Very chilling. You know, you could chill to it. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice voice.
Mm-hmm. And obviously not Irish at all. Really.
No, obviously not Irish.
And David J. Howe.
Yes, I think he transported me to the field of clover just south of Dublin, where, sitting in his rocking chair, he was... no, it was, as you said, Cameron, a very, very traditional country sound, wasn't it? Yeah, very nice. Very, very, very relaxing, as you said.
Very important. And, of course, we'll find out what Tessa Snart makes of Cameron's selection probably tomorrow morning, just after midnight in Los Angeles time, when Tessa will get a chance to have a reprise of the details from that point of view. Cameron, how good are you at Beat the Intro?
We'll try it.
Okay, you're going to try it from that point of view. Let's see if you can get this one, then. Obviously live. Any thoughts at the moment? 12 seconds to go.
Oh, it's Iron Maiden.
Yes, and?
Run to the Hill.
Yes! Yeah, absolutely. You see,
very good.
There we are.
Very good.
We knew that you'd get there. Sam might be saying she can only hear through one headset. It's all right.
I was. It wasn't working at all for a minute
then. It
doesn't
really matter.
It's okay now.
Wiggle it and hope for the best, as many people have actually said. But yes,
I knew it was Maiden, but I've got almost all of their albums, and I was just trying to figure out which live performance that was from.
See, he's going to go into all sorts of detail now, but that's why we knew he could nail it. Why do we go Iron Maiden, you might say? Surely that's for the Rock Train. Well, yes, but Sam and David were watching Iron Maiden very week.
Yes,
we went
to Download
Sunday evening.
Download Festival.
We were at Download Festival.
Oh, very cool.
To watch Maiden live on stage. And they rocked the place at one point. It was quite funny. Bruce Dickinson, as he does, calls out to the crowd, "Hello, Donington, blah, 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 blah. We should call this Downpour Festival."
Yes, it was.
it was absolutely soaked.
Anybody who knows me knows that I don't like to get untidy or dirty, and we were wading through about 3-4 inches of mud. Maybe it was deeper than that. It felt it.
Yeah, 4 to 6 inches of mud. We observed that a lot of the arena looked like concrete because it was like a skim of like
wood flats.
Solid. Yeah. It looked like it was solid.
Yeah.
But it was actually 4 inches of wet.
You see what you miss, Cameron, by being over in that United States of America.
Well, I've seen Maiden now 3 times. I saw them at Twickenham. I saw them in Dallas, Texas, and then I saw them here in Nashville. All different venues. When in Twickenham, it was full stadium. In Dallas, it was an amphitheater, and here in Nashville, they played an arena. So they're all, I mean, Maiden really are a great live band, and they just never run out of steam. When you figure Bruce Dickinson is the youngest guy of the band, and he's 58, and he spends the whole time running.
We were just talking about that, Cameron, about how much presence he had, and he's up and down and all different levels, and a great performance.
Well, there we have it. Katie, last 2 questions for Cameron, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have.
And will you be joining us again soon?
We'll be back next week.
Almost as though you're running through the streets of Jersey to Iron Maiden and Run to the Hills. What say you, Jersey correspondent extraordinaire Anna Lewis?
Well, it's strange because we had a marathon on Sunday and my colleague took part in it. And we had about 500 runners in the island, which is pretty good for a population of 90,000, just over. And they did a brilliant marathon. It was pretty good.
It's a win-win situation. That's the important thing. Let's remind the listener, and of course your good self, Anna, who is the terrific lineup for the Midweek Drive today. We have Katie Dore. Katie, generally postgraduate student, and key, and I say that quite deliberately, key PA to the head of the School of English and Journalism. That would be Jason Whittaker.
Indeed. Keeps me out of mischief.
Oh, very important. That, and obviously it provides food for your domestic rats.
Indeed. Oh, yes.
We also have the legendary publisher and indeed coordinator of a whole stack of things for Telos Publications. That's David J. Howe.
Good evening. Hello.
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 David's got a book out that you should really actually have for the library in Jersey.
Oh, my word.
It's a Target book, David.
Yes, indeed, Anna. Yes, you need to need to get hold of a copy of the Target book.
He's threatening to possibly send you a copy if you sent him some Jersey Delights.
Well, you know.
Still waiting for
the Jersey Delights.
Could be a long wait, that's all I can say. And, of course, the ace author who should already have lots of books in your library, that's Sam Stone.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Sam. Hi.
So there we have it. That's the kind of lineup. Anna, what have you been getting up to this week?
Oh, well, there you go. I've volunteered to give a talk at the public library on Friday on a subject I've only had 2 weeks to research. And it's about a local man, a local Jerseyman, who ends up running West Riding Lunatic Asylum at the age of 24. He held the position for 8 years. And the horrible thing I discovered last night is that his niece ended up in the local asylum in Jersey and died there. And one of his theories is that mental illness runs through families. And it does make you wonder when his niece ended up in one. He was running the asylum in Wakefield. So it's a hell of a responsibility for a 24-year-old to look after over 1,000 patients as the director.
But on the flip side, Hugo Strange in Arkham Asylum from Gotham was only a similar age when he started sorting things through. So,
true. Good point, yep.
And let's face it, you know, what the British wouldn't give for their equivalents of the Joker, the Penguin, Edward Nygma, the Riddler, and so on. It's just wonderful. Anyway, Katie, any thoughts for your good self for Anna?
Well, it's just ages since we've spoken, Anna. How are you?
Well, not too bad, actually. The weather here in Jersey has been a bit unpredictable. We haven't had the kind of rainfall that you've had in England, but nonetheless, it's pretty kind of, you don't know what to wear when you come out. And, you know, you go to clothes shops and summer stock is in the sale now, which is crazy because we haven't had a summer yet. So I don't know what to make of it, really. Has it been raining up in Lincoln?
Curiously, yes.
torrentially.
Not some proportions, I'll take it.
Oh, you never know. In case you're wondering, it's 20 minutes past 5 o'clock and it's Romania 1, Switzerland 0. There has been a goal in the Euro 2016. I know, Sam, you're desperately keen to find out how Romania are performing against Switzerland, two teams that are very dear to your heart. But there we are. That's the official line. Romania are in the lead. So there we are.
That's fantastic.
If Romania are involved, I'm sure it's a bloodbath.
We'll be going to Transylvanian Professor Richard Hand. Actually, he's not Transylvanian at all. He's based in Wales at present. But he'll be talking about his...
So where do we think Anna's from?
She's actually from Jersey, born and bred.
Actually from Jersey?
Unless she's lied to me all these years.
Not from Bombay or Calcutta or...
Why would you think she might have been from Bombay or Calcutta?
I don't know. We thought Paul Cameron was from Canada. And
sometimes
and David
was goes
from
off
Ireland.
On one and I just don't understand where he's going from.
Actually. I have no idea where he's going from. No idea.
If you are listening to this via our radio app in the delights of India or indeed Asia throughout, and you know an Anna Lewis who happens to claim to be born in Bombay, please let us know. studio@sirenonline.co.uk.
What I was going to ask Anna was we were over on the other side of the country the other week, and we bought a yogurt which claims to be made from Guernsey milk, a vanilla yogurt, which is absolutely delicious.
Good, okay.
So is Guernsey famed for kind of
both islands are. They're very protective in Jersey. They have not had effectively a milking cow imported to Jersey since 1763. So the herd is very pure. But the milk that you talk of, the you've got to be very careful when it says Jersey milk or Guernsey milk. What they mean is milk produced from a Jersey cow or a Guernsey cow, but not living here. These cows are living in the UK. They're from Jersey herds, but they're not from Jersey, if you know what I mean. They were originally from Jersey, but they're exported cows.
So how do you tell if the milk or yoghurt or butter or whatever is from cows in Jersey or Guernsey?
From the Jersey. If it says from the Jersey herd, it will normally say from such and such a farm in Tavistock or something like that, because the Jersey herd's been exported all over the world. In fact, only a few days ago, I've been asked to look for a photo of a Jersey cow that sold for the equivalent of £1 million.
Wow.
about 40 years ago, because someone wants a photograph of it.
And
the cow the cows in Jersey have pedigrees, i.e. they have family trees. I'm not kidding, they have family trees. The Jersey Herd book is full of the cow's pedigrees, so you know that your cow on your field goes back to 1763 at least.
You can't just find a picture of any old cow and just say that.
No. These cows have names.
David, one week before the Lincolnshire show happens. We've got Lincoln Reds. We've got Lincolnshire Reds. We've got all sorts of other areas. One of which is a cheese. One of which is a cow. It always confuses me.
It's difficult to suss through
on that basis. Yes. But you know, you can't. You know, these bovine material that comes through, which once again nailing it. The beasts are actually there, and you know, no non-Jersey cows in Jersey since, when was it, 1763?
Yeah. It's on our local milk carton, it says so, and we believe what we're told on a milk carton.
So the milk cartons you get in Jersey, they come from cows that are on Jersey, presumably. You don't import your milk.
And I kid you not, if you buy, you will not find English milk, unless it's lactose-free, you will not find English milk in any supermarket, because Customs and Immigration will raid the shelves of the supermarket and remove them and tip them down the sink. They will not allow English milk into Jersey.
Exactly. I mean, you've gone to this whole notion of kind of arresting people and suspending them from the tournaments. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, as if they've got nothing else to do. They did this in Waitrose about a year ago, and I managed to get six 500-litre cartons, because I love English milk, and I managed to get six, but 25 cartons were confiscated by the customs, because they were not Jersey. It was not Jersey milk. It was slipped through the supermarket chain.
Does it taste different, though? I
have to say, I prefer English milk because it's less fatty. But it's just a personal thing. My colleague, who's from New Zealand, loves Jersey milk.
It sounds like a challenge that we should set up for some of our journalism people in many ways.
Maybe have like a milk tasting session.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be really good, actually.
Put that down.
I think that would work.
So Anna, if you could get some English milk and some Irish milk and American milk and Jersey milk
and smuggle it in, and the customs are going to jump on me. What I do is I go to Boots the Chemist at Gatwick Airport when I'm on my way back, and I buy two cartons. One I will demolish at the airport, and the other one I'll smuggle through in my rucksack. And I pray that I won't get caught doing that.
Well, we like to live life on the edge. That's what the show's about, living life on the edge.
It's not cocaine, it's not fags.
She's a milk smuggler. That's all we have to say. It's okay.
You'll have the cow patrol down on you like a ton of bricks.
And that has astonishingly led us to Katie putting those last two interrogatives to Kat. Unless you've got any bovine questions you'd like to ask Anna about milk, lactose and such like.
I have many, but I'm not sure where to start.
Go then. Go.
Have you written an email or
telephonic link with us today?
Yeah.
I presume that was a yes, actually. You were talking across purposes, you know, bless her heart. But yes, I think the link was okay. And the next one, of course, is...
Will you be joining us again soon?
I would love to. Thank you for the offer. Ooh, cheers.
Let's go to Belgium. Joe Loss Orchestra, and in so many ways the perfect introduction to our wonderful correspondents from California, Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten. Welcome back to the programme, folks.
Thank you.
Hey, Arthur, the British Isles has been awash with the question that we've been desperately keen to put to you. Have you as yet seen Rowan Atkinson as Maigret?
No, I have been thwarted. I asked Annette to look it up and see if she could bring something back that I can see it, and she forgot all about it.
No!
And all resisting everything. So I think I'm being saved.
No, I there was no point in bringing something up. There was nothing to bring back. I did, however, catch a little bit of a couple of the previews of it, and I was a bit stunned. I mean, Rowan Atkinson tried very hard to assume a character, apart from the fact that he's far too small. But he did.
May Gray is not a person of restricted height, let's face it. He's a wonderful Belgium detective, and he's just, you know, he smokes his cigar, but Rowan, it just doesn't work for you. Although I gather Rowan isn't that small.
It doesn't. I tried to be serious, and then I couldn't. And I kept expecting a little sort of hip and a jump and a hop and a, you know.
Well, when you told me first about it, Alex, and what I thought was that it was like a Saturday Night Live concept of, you know, a one-off, a 12-minute segment of something, and it's a put-on. But this is like asking Trump to do Hamlet.
Funny you should say that. That is actually in my next sort of scenario. And Steve Court, welcome, by the way, Steve Court.
Hello.
Is one of the people who I think you could do some performance poetry on the basis of Donald Trump as Hamlet. What say you?
maybe not today, but funny you should say, actually, the group of kids I've just been teaching before I left school today, one of them got through to the local Slam Jam final, and his poem is about Donald Trump.
Marvellous. So you see, this side of the Atlantic, we're obviously taking Donald Trump seriously to the extent that he's inspiring children to write poetry about it.
Wow.
That's amazing.
But you cannot. Let me stay with that for a second. It is the biggest mistake in life to take creatures like Trump and then, whoever your favorite despot is, to say that they could never get into power. That's ridiculous. There is nothing low created, a corruption like him, so low that a public could not find the reason to elect or just to do a coup and put in. Anybody who dismisses these kinds of vitriolic creatures is doing so at their own peril.
Well, there we have it. The words of Arthur Weingarten. A little bit harsh, some might have said, you know, but at the same time, you know, there you go. But President Trump, it could work there. I mean, Katie, clearly there's a big series of siren programmes, big, big series of programmes all about the American presidential election.
Yes.
Your thoughts on what Arthur's just said there?
I share his concerns. I think there's some quite sinister people in the public domain who get away with saying some quite terrifying things, but by being slightly buffoonish at the same time, people don't always see the underlying danger in what they're saying. I think we have our own, I think our own, those who are guilty of that as well.
Well, there we are. I was just about to say, Arthur, go on. Sorry, Annette, carry on.
I've actually spoken to, just recently, some people that I happen to know are conservatives, what do you call them here?
Yes.
Republicans, conservatives, they're called by different names in different countries.
Out of interest, I asked what their thoughts were now that he actually had the candidacy. And they're making themselves believe that he's actually saying some. I like the boldness of his speech. I like him speaking out. And, you know, he's saying he'll make America great. I mean, how stupid can people be? They believe what they feel. They, instead of not voting or instead of changing sides, they prefer to run with the masses who are following these creatures. And it's scary. It's scary that people can actually bring themselves to believe that this person could do the job.
You know, I don't know if it made the news over there yet. Certainly it will by tomorrow. The first Republican senator who is a mainstream Republican fellow of quite some note has just publicly declared that he is voting for Hillary Clinton. Now, that's like saying he is drinking the hemlock to a Republican. because they hate her so much. But the defection is starting because what they realize, this is no noble Roman senator. This is a down-in-the-dirt kind of a guy who wants to continue to earn his living by doing mad things in Senate and yet getting an accolade when he retires. They're only self-interested, all politicians. I don't care if Democrat or Republican or Labor or Conservative. But nevertheless, this is a major defection for them to do that. And I believe that it will snowball because their self-interest is at risk here. But what I find more frightening is, as you all know over there, your right-wing parties have gained in power throughout Europe, to use the easy term fascism, a right-wing movement of monolithic government, is on the rise. And it erupts like Germany erupts every 25 years with a right-wing party that threatens to undo all the good that a Merkel and other people have tried. And, you know, once again, Germans are being brushed with the same brush. The right-wing people around the world, Turkey, this and that, seem to be gaining power. And I think the question to ask is, what has been missed 10 years back that would not have foreseen the rise of this?
Arthur, I don't want to sort of egg this particular pudding because I think there's going to be an awful lot of debate and discussion, and I'll bring in some of the studio team in a few seconds. But as someone who probably is chronologically gifted enough to remember Barry Goldwater, I saw a lot of people have commented on the similarities between Trump and Goldwater. Goldwater, of course, who was a spectacular failure in the 64 presidency campaign. Is there a similarity there, or is that a case of no, you're just trying to actually catch at straws?
There is. I would make, only because I really believe you must honor your enemies, because to do otherwise is suicide. Goldwater, for all his right-wing craze, kind of, you know, 7 days in May, we're going to drop the bombs and kill the Russians, was not a racist. He was not, ever said anything against any religion, any people, any kind of a thing. He was just the fear monger. This is what he was.
If you're going to drop the bomb, I suppose it doesn't really have any sort of concern about the color of your skin, really. But still. Steve, your thoughts on what you've just been listening to? Because obviously, dropped straight into a political debate here.
Yeah, I was like, well, this has changed from last time I was here. You go away for a few years, and what happens? It falls apart. I think there's a lot of that he's saying there that I agree with wholeheartedly. I think there's a lot of my concern with the Donald Trump thing, just going back to that slightly, is that yes, there's a lot of very outwardly horrible things that he says, and you sort of think, I don't know how you've got to the position that you have got to, which is a fear in itself. But I think there's also quite a lot of very negative things going on the other side of the party as well. But because she's not so outwardly spoken, and because she's not rattling the cages that she is rattling, I think there's a fear that people will vote against Trump rather than voting for her. And I think we've got the same thing with the referendum over here at the moment. I think there's a huge amount of negative feeling towards the Cameron government, which is going to prompt people to go, well, if you're telling me you want me to do this, I'm going to vote the opposite way. And I'm not voting for the right reason, or they're not voting for the reason they should be voting. They're voting purely as a bit of a finger up to the man. And I think that politics is starting to become, because, and again, it comes down to a lot of the mass media stuff that's out there. Everybody's opinion suddenly is clouded or is muddied by the amount of information that's out there, whether it's true or not. And I think we're suffering on both sides of the pond.
In today's New York Times, I just finished reading that The Sun and Murdoch on the front page editorial has said leave. Leave is what you must do. One must always look for not only just the motive, but motivation. I mean, here is Murdoch, who is a citizen of Australia, a citizen of the United Kingdom, and a citizen of America. He goes where the money goes. So, I mean, are you going to take your advice from someone who has got, like Trump, self-interest at his heart, no matter what he does, from his marriages to which child he'll place his empire's hands in? You know, I mean, I think it's ever thus. I think it's ever been thus. When you rightly say it's a vote against, but then again, I don't know when there has not been that kind of a situation. And I go back into history, when the battle between Plato and Socrates or anything like that. Self-interest is at the heart of us. The only difference was it wasn't as murderous in those days as it is now.
And, of course, they had slaves. But let's not go down that line because, you know, we've got a stack of other things there. Katie, any thoughts from yourself? Because obviously you were part of the first two-hour production that took place of that in terms of what we've just heard from Arthur and Annette.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to see the way that it's all unfolding. And it was certainly interesting to be able to sort of speak to fellow students, journalism students, and listening to how they're sort of critically digesting what the media is telling them in the States and how they're looking at that, in some cases, very critically and very cautiously. And that's kind of what fills me with hope for the future, that there are people who are thinking about what they're reading and thinking about what they're being told.
David, do you have hope, or is it a case of we're all doomed?
I think we're all doomed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, unfortunately. It is a bit scary. We are quite distant here from obviously what happens in America, and everything we see tends to be filtered through, you know, the various biases of the various media and newspapers and what they want. I mean, it's very difficult. I've said for a long time that my perception of Barack Obama is that he seems to be a very, very good president. He seems to be trying to make all the right decisions. He seems to be upstanding. He seems to be a decent guy. All of this kind of stuff. And yet we have friends in America who can't stand the guy, who say he's awful, he's done terrible things, it's been dreadful, it's been... And we're like, we don't live there, we don't really know. But
yeah, that's my view on it.
What we see is filtered through what the media tells us, and it's very difficult.
I'm always tempted to say, and Arthur, you might have a view
on this as well. Living here as well. Yeah. But there are a lot of people biased against him, and there are a lot of things that, yes, where we're all sort of said, oh, why didn't he do this or why didn't he do that? On the other hand, he has come up against a brick wall with Congress. He's black, frankly, and that's the big reason. They're all against him. He's been trying, from what we hear, trying a lot of stuff that was never allowed to go through. I agree. I think he's a good man. I think his ideals were in the right place, but he just was cautious, too cautious in the beginning, and probably rightly so. But it didn't help the country. On the other hand, he has done some good things, and now he's saying what the hell and speaking out quite a lot more. He certainly is for gun control, and he did bring in the health issue.
Oh yeah,
and it has to be said.
I assure you that no paranoia on your side. Things are far worse here than you think they are.
We are all doomed. We are all doomed.
I just sort of add to the little brief thing that surely, just from a common sense perspective,
comfort in that you're not far off the mark, but you're off the mark. And what Annette just said is pure and simple. I said this on your show once before, that my favorite in the last 50 years of quotes is Joan Didion's, "I no longer ask what makes Iago evil." Because if you try to get to the bottom of what makes motivating things from things that are like our massacre just recently and all of that, it's immutable. You cannot figure it out. So don't ask about that. Take away the right that they have to do something, either by a law or in some other way. In your country, they just had in the New York Times, one person in 30 million is killed by a gun in the UK.
Yeah.
In the United States, it is one person for every 35,000 people.
I would have thought it was more.
No. It's enough.
There are over
7,000 gun deaths in this country a year.
Yeah.
It is one of the things... Sorry, Arthur, I was just going to say... Sure.
I was just going to say, if you just took that, how can you begin to try to understand? This is a country that's out of control. This is a country that is obviously ruled by the National Rifle Association, and every member of Congress, including Democrats, are afraid to go against them because they will lose their jobs. They'll have to go out and find a way to earn a legitimate living.
I don't understand why they don't all rise up, the ones that really care about the guns, why they don't all rise up together. You can't fire everybody and just go against the NRA.
They don't.
We could obviously have your good self leading the revolution, which, strangely enough, as an Australian, would be quite an interesting sort of thing to work through. But, yeah, an interesting point, that particular side of things. I've constantly said as a regular refrain, and we stay very neutral, obviously, with respect to Midweek Drive and, indeed, Siren FM, but surely it doesn't take a genius to say, as Arthur's just said there with the mathematics of the whole thing, if you've got those sort of numbers, if you take away the guns, you're not likely to have the gun massacre. And the tragedies are actually there.
It's just, exactly. But
you
they
do
don't
have
want
to wonder
go there.
How many people have to die before they take command of it all. Great. That's the awful thing.
And Sam Stone, your thoughts on what we've just heard?
Well, just that, I mean, obviously I'm in the camp of let's get rid of all the guns myself. But
stakes for vampires are a lot better.
Stakes are far better. They're far more fun.
Exactly.
And as well as crossbows, you know.
Crossbows, even more fun. Very good. Yes.
And they're harder to use, so...
Or possibly muskets, if you really wanted to go through that. It's difficult to reload.
Absolutely. But no, but to not be flippant about it, as I said, I really think that people should, you know, how many more people do have to die before they can take a stand on it? And I think it's just awful that every week almost we're hearing about these tragedies.
Yeah, it is awful. I mean, what I said to Sam after the recent massacre was what it is. It was over 100 people were either killed or wounded by this gunman. And I said, who needs a gun that can fire that many bullets?
Mm. I've always said that with this, the gun issue, is a few of friends of mine were American, and they were quite adamant about this whole right to bear arms thing, which I was sort of saying, yeah, that was fine when we're talking of flintlock muskets.
Muskets, exactly.
But also I was saying, that's fine, because the arms, if you go and ask the army, the arms is the actual rifle itself. It doesn't talk about the bullets. So I think, fine, you have a right to bear arms, but we're going to ban the sale of bullets. Mm. Now,
I
see what you can
well,
do.
I'd like, yeah. Can I just say something? Because, like all things, we shorthand in life so that you just said, and I'm not calling you on this because you're right to have said it. The press says it this way, the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment to the United States Constitution clearly starts off with a well-regulated militia is called upon for individuals to bear arms. Now, that's an army, which you are meant to join if you want to bear arms, a well-regulated militia. People in this country have forgotten that's how the Second Amendment saw. I didn't make this up. Anybody in the world can look it up, a well-regulated militia. But we had a justice on the court, Scalia, who thankfully just passed into the great beyond. And he and all of his other right-wing, six of them, in 2008, took away the Second Amendment and rewrote it. These people who were the individual constitutionalists, in which they all tried to interpret what those fellas wearing wigs did in those days, and they just rewrote the thing, saying everyone has the right to bear arms. That isn't what the amendment meant. A well-regulated militia. Where is the fact that anybody can go to a gun show in this place and buy 100 guns and walk out like you just bought toothpaste? That's not a well-regulated militia.
Not at all.
No. So this country, and I hate to say this, it sounds like I'm a quisling, you know, back in World War II Norway, but this country is broken.
Arthur, some really astounding sort of lines. I feel as though we started off with May Gray and we moved through to the end of the United States as we know it.
Yes.
Unbelievable. But never mind, we will continue going and continue our right of actually free speech and working through that. Steve, it's been 18 months since you had the opportunity to ask these last two questions. Can you remember them?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have a vented one.
Nice.
And will you be willing to go through the pain again, the experience again?
That's just what you have to do.
Excellent. Arthur Weingarten and Annette Andre, many thanks. A joint dynamic duo from that point of view. It's a whole new letter from upstate New... Well, not upstate New York, from California. It's extraordinary. We salute you. Take care. In a, obviously, a non-military bearing sense, of course. Clearly, it's...
Because we're a two-regulated militia here.
Exactly.
Thank you.